when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to the special edition of the Ad News podcast on diversity and inclusion, recorded at the Dentsu Aegis HQ in Melbourne. I'm the Ad News editor, Pippa Chambers, and today I'm joined by CEO of Isobar, Conrad Spilver, and Dentsu Aegis Network's head of diversity and inclusion, Catherine Krantz. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thank you for joining me. Thank you for having me at your HQ in Melbourne. So I want to just kind of kick off by finding out a little bit more about your role. So Catherine, you have two roles, a dual role, and with one of those being head of diversity and inclusion at Dentsu Aegis Network. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about your role and how that came about?
Yeah, sure. So the council's been in existence for almost 2 years now, and it was formed off the back of an audit that we did across our total business. To understand where we were with regards to diversity and inclusion and what type of activities and actions we could put in place to really improve the inclusive environment of our business and the diversity of people that we employ.
And was it something you sort of volunteered or that you just registered an interest with? You know, how did you end up kind of actually getting this role?
Initially, I was part of the council and representing my main brand, Cara. And actually what we found is as a working committee, which is where it's initially started, we perhaps weren't getting the traction that we were wanting. So we actually put a little bit of governance into the council as it sort of evolved too. And I was asked to be headed up in conjunction with both comms support and HR support. So, yeah. Okay.
And how do you split that role and between your other role at Cara?
It's an ebb and flow type situation, and in theory it probably works out to about 80% Cara and 20% D&I. But there's obviously times when it's more, when we're leading up to council meetings and the like, and then less depending on what's actually happening at Cara.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And Conrad, what do you kind of make of this role? You know, when this role came about, and were you kind of interested in how this might impact your agency, and what does it kind of mean to you?
I think it's great that that the group has sort of made a commitment to diversity and inclusion. So you know, I sit on the board at Dan, and it's something that we've all been very passionate about. Having CK sort of, I guess, run that initiative has been fantastic. We've seen a lot of momentum and a lot of great things come about, and also just sort of surfacing up things that some of the individual businesses have been doing already, and making sure that that's been understood and made aware of and shared across the business.
Mm. Any examples of how having this role has sort of impact certain agencies or anything specifically at Isobar? Is it, or at this stage, is it kind of more broader across the whole business?
Initially, it was very broad. We wanted to make sure that what we were doing could impact and influence all of the businesses within Dan. And we did start sort of in a quite a housekeeping way. We did a lot of policy review. We made sure that a lot of our the ways that we were making it for people to come to work and participate within the working environment was where it needed to be. So parental leave policy, we've gone down a path of flexibility and investigating how that we can improve that. There's a pilot that we've done in a couple of the brands there. And so a lot of it was just getting our house in order. I think now what we've found is as we've done certain type of activities, there are certain brands that have embraced that more, and there's some examples where the Isobar guys have really leaned in on some of the activities that we've been doing. But you know, certainly the first part was making sure that what we were doing would influence the total business.
Mm. And any examples there? I know you mentioned, was it Anne Proud? Is that like a spin-off part of the diversity inclusion? You tell us a bit about what that is.
Yeah, that's super exciting. So that's the sort of the latest, I guess, major piece of work that we've done, which is our very first advocacy group, our employee advocacy group called Anne Proud. It's actually the Australian chapter of a diversity, a group that was actually formed in the UK, and that was the decision that was made by the people that volunteered to start the advocacy group here in Australia. They wanted to kind of link the two, and we think that's a great idea because it's actually can start to build potentially quite a global community. And so the group has launched, they've formed, they've got their own sort of council and governance. We have executive sponsorship with a member of the DAN AU board, which is brilliant. And we've actually got some training rolling out in the next couple of weeks.
So what is what exactly does that mean? What are they looking at? What are they hoping to do?
Yeah, so what we wanted to do, I guess, was have at least one group advocacy to represent, I guess, parts of our business that may not be fully represented in the council, and where there were points of real passion and real interest to drive from a diversity perspective, that we gave them the opportunity to be heard. And what it will mean for, I guess, the business is an increased awareness of what it's like to be working in the office and identifying as LGBTIQ+ and or an ally of that community, which we really find that that's important, and that's why there's the AND Proud from, to include both.
And what do you, maybe I'll ask you this as well, Cara. You know, what do you think about these types of roles, you know, kind of appearing in you know, in certain agencies or networks? Do you think we're going to see more and more of this? People with specific roles like this?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there's, as I said, like, I think a lot of this, a lot of the role of that is just kind of about awareness and understanding. And I think it's great to have a focus of that because otherwise, you know, and a commitment of time, the organisation puts towards that. Otherwise, it just becomes sort of good intentions as opposed to, you know, a real focus and real policy. So I think so. I think, you know, in fairness to the group, and I've been part of the group for a long time now, I think we've always sort of had a kind of inherent sort of welcoming an understanding of different cultures or different sexuality or obviously different needs of parents, etc. But actually having some commitment and formalities to it, I think, has really kind of elevated that and allowed everybody to really kind of have a better understanding of everybody's sort of sensitivities.
Mm. And obviously, Adland, you know, like many other industries, but, you know, specifically we talk about Adland not being as diverse. You know, we maybe, I guess there's a lot of, you know, some of the stereotypes, you know, hiring from Melbourne and Sydney and not looking beyond that and, you know, the media bubble and maybe not hiring as many people from different socioeconomic backgrounds or from disadvantaged backgrounds. Have you, is that part of the agenda? Are you actively looking to, you know, not just support people that you have in the business from diverse backgrounds, but actively looking to kind of change the shape of how, of what your workforce looks like?
Yeah, it's definitely something that we have on our agenda. And I think it was something as well that was picked up through, we have a DAN-wide inclusive leadership training modules that started earlier this year and will continue to run out as we move our way through our staff. We've trained over a third of our staff in that education now. But I think it was one of the things that we identified was that whilst we might be actually quite diverse in many of the aspects of diversity, I think socioeconomic and where people have come from an education background and those sorts of things is probably less diverse. We need to be really considerate about how we can potentially bring types of people into our business that maybe have those different histories and backgrounds. There's actually a really great example of someone working in ISABAR who actually came through a program that we associated with who we're actually looking to explore to do more work with, and he's actually the gentleman who runs that business is coming into the council next council meeting just so we can find out more. But
That's not Talent Rise, is it?
Yeah,
oh, it is.
So we've got Roger coming in next month.
Okay. Yeah. I know. Yeah, there's another network. Well, I can say, yeah, IPG have just signed up to do something with them, and okay. They're kind of filling me in on. I think that was off the back of an Unlimited charity event from the CEO Sleep Out, and they're raising money.
Yeah.
So that's something you guys are obviously actively involved in as well.
Yeah, we also run a scholarship program with Academy XI for Indigenous Australians as well, trying to get some Indigenous people into the workforce here, into advertising or into digital design. So that's been really successful. We've got our first candidate. She's been with us for a couple of months now. So as CK mentioned, it's about celebrating diversity of thought, having different sort of people from different backgrounds, because if we're designing and creating experiences for brands that are supposed to appeal to everybody, you need to have that.
Mm. And obviously the topic of diversity inclusion is, really amped up, and it feels like, everyone's really getting a sense of the importance and how there is, change is needed. Do you think it will, could potentially impact sort of pitches and maybe more questions are involved around that? I don't know, for example, government pitches or people actually asking questions about how diverse your workforce is. Do you think we'll maybe see more of that, agencies having to prove themselves a little bit more?
Mm, I think it's already there. So there's been a number of really large pitches that we've participated in lately, and one of which was an Isobar pitch where there's a good section of the RFI that focuses in on diversity and what we're doing in that space and how potentially we can support clients with their own diversity agenda. So I would say that certainly for large business, we're probably already there, and it won't take long, I would assume, until other sort of mid to smaller size businesses really take interest in that as a point of difference in who they're choosing as an agency partner.
Mm. And what's the end goal? What does success in diversity and inclusion look like? Is that the disappearing of your role? That we don't need someone to champion and lead that? What do you see as being a successful kind of vision or future for this space?
Yeah, it's really interesting. We actually had this conversation the other day in with our head of HR. And, I think you'd probably like to get to a point where you actually didn't necessarily need a focus on it. I think probably some of the experiences that I've had lately is that the focus is definitely swinging a lot more to inclusion and the understanding the importance of inclusion, because in many instances you can work really hard to get your diversity right, but unless you create an inclusive culture where those people can actually feel engaged and belong in that environment, it's all well and good to kind of get them in, but then they will typically rotate out if they're not feeling that they're part of the group. So actually for us it is absolutely still a dual focus. Absolutely, but I think it's up to businesses to work really, really hard on the inclusion component.
Mm. And do you feel that the staff are kind of educated enough to know what diversity really means? Because we have a lot of people just saying, "Oh, it's gender diversity," and instantly going straight to the male-female divide without kind of realizing all the different tiers. Do you kind of or do you even get questions around that about maybe staff don't quite understand what they should be doing or saying?
Oh, I think education for us is certainly a pillar of the council objectives, because we do realise that not everybody has the luxury of getting as much information around D&I as, say, I would or the council members do, that's because everybody's got lots of things to do in their day-to-day job. So the more that we can splice in snippets of information, we've just recently started a speaker series which will bring to the people in quite a relaxed environment, various different topics. We had our first session the other day, which was hosted by Bauer Media, and they presented their female futures piece of work.
So which, that's internally to staff, they'll present.
Yeah, yeah, and we live stream it to the other offices around Australia, so it's inclusive. But we will rotate the themes within that environment just to try and keep people informed, and obviously not every topic is going to be interesting for everybody, but it will just give bringing in different perspectives, different points of view and the latest information in this space, which I think is really important.
I think a lot of what's happening is that a lot of this is employee led too, so finding especially at Isobar, we've got a number of diversity channels on Slack, for example. And people are kind of raising what diversity means on a whole number of different contexts, and inclusion means as well. So just again, it's a sort of bring up that awareness thing and that conversation, there's this discourse about it, not debate, but just a discussion around that. And we've also sort of done some really interesting things with AI in that forum. So, if somebody's doing a full announcement on Slack that says, say, "Hey guys," they'll be sort of pulled up by the bot that says, "Hey, some people may feel a bit left out if you're referencing hey guys, not to be, not to sort of be telling people what they can and can't say.
So you've set that up. Like, how does that work?
Yeah. We just use the platform that exists now. So Slack is like a communications channel, which you're probably aware of. And, and it's something that again, employee led. So a couple of programmers wanted to do that. So to basically just not pull people up for what they're saying in the environment, but just to make people aware that
kind of correct on
this may not include everybody. Yeah. And it's been a really good environment. I mean, and I was talking to Dice of RMD, Eric, and I think even one of the people in the team pulled him up because he sort of uses the word grammar Nazi quite a bit. And it made some people, you know, of Jewish background quite uncomfortable.
Yeah,
right.
Wow.
So it's just having, you know, having AI being able to sort of, recognize that and pick that up, I think it's also been, again, just raised another different level of awareness in the organization.
Yeah. I guess it's kind of understanding, you know, the various.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Different sensitivities and maybe where to draw the line and, you know, educate and just flag things instead of kind of hauling people up. And
totally. Yeah. You can't do that. You know, it's not about that at all. It's about, you know, just surfacing it, having that discussion and just making people aware so they know for next time.
Yeah. And what about in terms of, you know, I'm sure you've all got friends at other agencies and networks. You know, do you guys feel that you're leading here? Do you know much more about what some of the other agencies are doing? Do you kind of feel that you're leading the pack here with, you know, obviously a role like yourselves and you've got this AI thing on Slack and, you know, it sounds like you're obviously very progressive. Are you kind of across that?
I've seen some really great things come out of OMD. And I think just, you know, that, and they market that in trade press. And I think that it's all really positive if as an industry we can bandy together on this particular topic, considering the influence that we have as a media business and in the communications industry. I think that if we're doing it well and that, you know, it sets the tone, you know, more broadly and outwardly. But there's some really great examples, some of the creative agency work. I think MNC Saatchi have done some really great things I've seen in the last probably 12, 18 months.
So do you mean in terms of internally or as in what they're actually doing their output with
seemingly,
advertising?
I think it starts internally. A lot of the things seem to be internal, but they've been talking about it more in press and also in event-type situations, which I think is really important. So I certainly think that we're doing great things. Really proud of what the council and I have achieved in the last, you know, couple of years. But certainly, you know, take advice and inspiration from other parts of the industry as well, because that's how we're all going to kind of learn and progress together.
And obviously a big topic within the diversity, as I mentioned before, there's obviously the gender breakdown and women with parental leave, and, you know, not just women, you know, dads and partners. Where are you guys kind of on that parental leave? You know, I know you mentioned you changed your policy before, because I guess it's all very well, you know, having women come into the business, but if they do want to go on parental leave, you know, you have to make sure you're supporting them. Where are you kind of on that in terms of what you're doing and how far you've come?
It was almost the first thing that we did was review our policy, and we updated it significantly from where it was to where it currently is now. That's not to say that will be the last time we look at that. It's something that, you know, probably needs looking at least every 12 months just to make sure that it is current. And interestingly, when we formed the LBTGIQ plus group, we actually formed in partnership with Pride and Diversity. And one of the things that we did was review our policies, including the parental leave policy, to make sure that they were inclusive for that community. And so we've even just recently reiterated that policy to make sure that it was exactly where it needed to be.
So what do you mean by that? Is that, what, have you got an example of what you changed or what was?
Yeah, it wasn't so much changing the construct of the policy as such. It was just making sure that we were really explicit that it included same-sex couples mm-hmm. and that they weren't excluded from the policy. So sometimes by not writing that, and even though you right. may assume yep. that, of course, unless you actually really clearly state that that's the case, it doesn't feel as inclusive as it could be. So we've done that across all of our policies, including parental leave. But I think as well, getting that right and making sure that that's as generous and supportive as we can be for our families is to make sure that whilst our parents are on leave, that they feel connected to our business mm-hmm. And that they are being included in, you know, how our world is progressing, which is obviously, as you know, at a hugely rapid pace. But then also when they come back, making sure that we've got flexible working arrangements that we can form with them in partnership and support them. You know, flexibility is definitely a really big agenda item for us as it relates to parents, but actually as it relates to all people in our business. So it just so, you know, it's typically where you kind of start is with return to work mums and dads, but it is flexibility is ubiquitous across our business agenda.
Yeah, and there's some key initiatives that, you know, we've been running as well to with working mums or working parents who may need to be part-time to support their families.
Because you said you're on a 4 days a week.
Myself, I'm yep. 4 days a yep. week, so I took advantage of the parental leave policy and took a big break when we had our son. You know, we both don't have any family in Melbourne, so it was important for me to be able to take that time. And my wife went back to work really quickly as well because she's got a startup. So I'm 4 days a week to look after Archie one days a week. And I think that's just been good to kind of just set an example as somebody, as a leader in the business, that it's okay to do that. And then I can still be a senior person in the organization 4 days a week. But I think for the working parents, just, you know, it's important for them to feel like that they you know, they have the same career progression opportunities, that they don't get left out of mm-hmm. team communications. A lot of parents don't work on a Friday. A lot of team meetings are on a Friday. So how do we broadcast those and make sure they feel connected to the agency? You know, we recently promoted one of the women at Isobar into an executive role a month before she went on mat leave. So we probably wouldn't have done that previously, you know, in all honesty. You would have thought about, oh, she's not going to be here for 6 months whatever. But, she was deserving of the promotion, deserving of the role. So we've done that. And the person that's kind of filling in part of her role since she's been back is a guy who's actually come back from taking primary care leave himself. So it's all worked out quite nicely. But, but you know, it's kind of that policy is one thing, but practicing what you preach and driving these initiatives, true. I think is really important too.
And what is your top line parental leave in terms of paid leave for women and men?
Yeah, so we have 16 weeks paid for primary carer and 4 weeks for secondary carer. And obviously the full 12 months leave period. And we do very much support having a flexible arrangement discussion as and when you come back into the office. And that could be a condensed week, part-time. It can be working from home. There's lots of different options that we're happy to have a conversation about.
And what about companies, you know, that maybe not as big as a big network, that they can, you know, change and create these policies? What's your advice, you know, and that maybe can't, you know, put someone in a dual role or a full role? What's your advice for trying to improve your diversity and inclusion? You know, is the backbone always policy? You have to have this set structure, you know, framework to make sure everyone adheres to.
I think, so you're saying smaller business or larger business?
Yeah, no, sorry, smaller. So if they kind of want, you know, they want to be perhaps as advanced as maybe you guys are, but, you know, they maybe don't have the resources, or they just want to know how to start that kind of path to improve things.
Yeah, it's interesting because within DAN, we've obviously got lots of different sized businesses within our DAN network. And so we are conscious that not everything that we do as a council group and the tone that we set is exactly applicable in every single part and division within our business. So I think as a leader, you've got to consider, well, what is it that's going to, how far can we flex it, balancing both the business needs and also the individual needs? And we do that, you know, in flexibility, for example, there is quite a lot of consideration that the employee has to put forward in terms of, well, how is this going to impact the business? How is it going to impact the team around me? And that's definitely part of it. So it's not something that you can just be completely wide open and generous. I think that you have to think about, well, how do we match the business needs with the individual needs and come to some sort of, you know, compromise in the middle so that everybody's kind of, the business is thriving, but so are the individuals. I think that there's definitely things you can apply as a small business. It may not be the full shopping list, but, there's definitely things you can do.
And just slightly on the same topic, but I guess sort of looking at maybe your output, maybe Conrad, this is one for you with some of the things that you're creating at Isobar. Do you feel that, you know, your output has also changed creative-wise, looking at trying to be more diverse with it, whether it's a project or an advert or something that you're working on? You're kind of really thinking about that a little bit more compared to maybe past years when, I don't know, for example, you'd always use a guy in a car ad or something like that. Do you know, are you kind of applying this to the work as well as obviously your internal mantra and how you look after your staff?
For sure, yeah. I think it's definitely improved our work. You know, it's improved the engagement of the staff doing the work as well. And I think, you know, especially when, you know, whilst we do quite a bit of comms work, a lot of the work we're doing is sort of designing you know, brand experiences or digital ecosystems for brands, and they're you know, big organizations that need to appeal to everybody from all walks of life. So having people from all walks of life being able to design and craft those experiences is really important to elevate that work to be able to engage everybody. So I think it's something, you know, I think it's something that hasn't necessarily, it's not something we need to beat the drum on all the time. It's kind of a bit inherent in the culture of the place, a little bit anyway, which is, so we're kind of starting from a good spot anyway. Mm-hmm. But the awareness of it and the fact that we're kind of celebrating it more, I think, has been really important in lifting the quality of the work.
I think there's some great examples of, and we went down a path of accessibility and understanding that a little bit more. And I think that I was interested to see that our creative and design businesses were particularly interested in Dylan Olcott, who came and did a session for the council, but also our board and also our extended leadership team. And both our sort of more creative businesses within our family of businesses were especially interested in how he could potentially help with the design and output of the quality of work. I think that was a good example.
Yeah, that's one thing that we're not represented really at all. We're not that we know of people with disabilities, really. We're mostly able-bodied staff in the organisation, and that was one thing that you made really aware of for us, really, is that if you're designing these experiences, you know, you've got to design them for disabled people too, and openly probably say we don't have disabled people as an active part of our design process yet, but something we
need
to change.
Something, like, what's the next step if you want to
we've... it's definitely sort of an area that we want to pursue. So, again, we've formed a partnership with an agency that will be helping with us to build an accessibility plan, which is a huge task. There's a lot of components to review within that, both from a location, technology, and just general policy perspective. And so it's a piece of work we're definitely undergoing. It takes some time. We want to make sure we get it right. But it's certainly something that's on the agenda for the remainder of this year and into early next. So it's probably, it was the catalyst. Having Dylan in was kind of the catalyst and piece of, you know, that kind of inspiration that we were like, yes, this is definitely something that we need to bring forward in the agenda of things that we're doing.
Obviously, it sounds like there's a lot going on. You know, do you see this becoming a larger part of, you know, could you imagine this overtaking your role in Cara?
We'd have to speak to a few people about that.
But it feels like there's a lot going on. There's a lot of different threads, and obviously there's so many agencies under Dan. Yeah. So, you know, it feels like a big role.
I think it's absolutely something that's probably, I love it. So I'm, you know, I think there's probably, and there's a lot of people around me that love it. So I think that the passion and the drive and the commitment to do great things in this space is probably giving us a little bit of discretionary effort, you know, to get things off the ground. And it's been so well received at all levels, particularly of leadership. So there's been people that have been putting their hands up to get involved, to support. So it's a real team effort. So I think, yes, it's definitely something that will continue to be a big focus within the business. But it certainly is feeling like a team effort. And to be honest, I don't think it would be as successful as it's been without that team effort, because having one person sort of preaching and having, you know, saying this is what we should be doing, the fact that people are kind of leaning in and getting involved and putting their hand up is part of the reason why it's doing as well as it is. So, yeah.
And lastly, if you, I guess, could kind of predict a time frame of when perhaps we could look at our agencies and networks and think that they truly are an accurate reflection on what Australians kind of are and look like. You know, what would you kind of future gaze as to when you think we might be there?
Oh, that's so tricky.
Yeah, that is really tricky. I mean, I don't know. I honestly, you know, I think all of the noise and coverage about it over the last few years has been really healthy and discussion around it. And I think we're getting there. We're slowly getting there. The momentum, you know, it's started. And I think, you know, there's a whole number of things that needs to change in society for it to be reflective of our industry, really, you know, in terms of pathways and education, et cetera. But, you know, we're aware of it and we're making a commitment to move closer to that. And it might be a generation away. Hopefully it's sooner. You know, we're committed to bringing it closer sooner.
Yeah, when I look at attendance and participation for some of the things that we host, the idea of it being a generation away probably sits comfortably with me, and the fact that I look at probably the next generation of our workforce who are really, you know, interested to understand and learn more. And I think that as they build up their own education and potentially bring their own experiences through university and other things to the C-suite, I think that's probably where it'll really shift.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, it sounds like you guys are doing lots of great things. So keep up the good work and keep us posted. And thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Pippa.
Thank you.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.